Welcome to Bridgeway Community Church. It is so good to see you today, whether you're at our Owens Mills Reisterstown campus, whether you're online anywhere in the world, or whether you're in the house right here in Columbia, Maryland. Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. One more time for the Holy Spirit. You ready? Praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be able to worship the Lord. And what about that choir today, huh? Can we give it up for them, right? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And the great worship that we have in Owens Mills as well is just always such a beautiful opportunity to just lift up our voices to God. So may the worship have just inspired you even there in Owens Mills as it has us here in Columbia, Maryland. Today we start a brand new series called Table Talk, and they are conversations about home. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that says that this new community of believers who got saved by inviting Jesus Christ into their life, they repented and were baptized, they devoted themselves to four things. And it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Secondly, to fellowship. Thirdly, to the breaking of bread. And then fourth, to prayer. And the breaking of bread is what we'll do later today. So wherever you are, if you want to grab something to share in communion toward the end of the service, we'll do that together as well. But what I want to do today in this series is start with the first thing, and that's the apostles' teaching. So today's title is, Can We Talk? And specifically, can we talk about spiritual authority? What does it mean to have the apostles' teaching? What I've decided to do is something a little bit different. And that is, instead of standing up here and preaching to you, let's have a conversation together. Let's have somewhat of a Bible study, somewhat of a listening and learning with one another. So I invited four people to join me at the table where we can have a little bit of a meal together. And at the same time with you, we'll break bread together and we'll even have questions that we'll be discussing. And if you decide that you want to be a part of that conversation, we have microphones, one to my left right here, one to my right over here. And at Owens Mills and online, what I want you to do is if you have a comment or a question, go ahead and send it directly to my email, info@andersonspeaks.com. And you can do that during the service or you can do that after the service. Take a selfie and send it to that email address and I will pick a few. So next week I'll put that selfie up on the screen and answer the question or address the comment. So let's see how that goes, okay? Now, if you'll put your hands together for the team of people I've invited to come up, will you make your way to the table now? We'll get ourselves set. And as we get ourselves set, if you have a copy of the scriptures, go ahead and pull that out, maybe on your smartphone or whatever. Mark, you'll go ahead and make sure Miss Susan sits down first. You'll take care of Miss Sandra there. A little chivalry is still, you know, alive here as these gentlemen are with me. And we're going to go into the Word of God. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, I want you to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, because this is going to be the passage that we'll be looking at for the weeks to come. It's sort of the foundational passage of our series, Table Talk. Acts chapter 2, 42, and it says again that these new Christians, now you got to understand the setting here. There was men and women who were in the upper room and they were praying after Jesus rose again from the dead. And it says in chapter 1, verse 8, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, you're gonna be my disciples, you're gonna be my missionaries, you're gonna be sent out not only to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the othermost parts of the world. God is actually gonna use you all throughout the world. And as they were praying, suddenly the Holy Spirit just, boom, shows up like a hurricane, and it seems like all these people who are in Jerusalem at that time, it's as if they were having a party in the streets, and some even thought that they were drunk. Because when the Holy Spirit started moving, people started worshiping God and praising God. And there were over like 15 different ethnic groups that are listed there. So it was multicultural. And the Holy Spirit began to speak in such a way that people could hear the gospel in their own tongue. It was amazing. And then it says 3,000 people were baptized, and it actually says men. So then you think about now today, that would probably be the some of their spouses and their children. So this was huge. And now they're devoted to these four things. And the first thing they're devoted to is the apostles' teaching. And so before we get into that, I'd like to introduce the table talk friends with me in this service. And I'll start all the way to my right. This is my sister, Sandra. Go ahead, Sandra, and introduce yourself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sandra Anderson McGraw, and I am an educator and administrator through and through, and have been one for 35 years. And I am very grateful to be a part of this event today, because I know that God is going to speak to the hearts of his people.
Yeah. Welcome, Sandra.
Morning, Bridgeway here in Columbia. And shout out to Omar over in Owens Mills, Reisterstown. I'm Charles Barton. I go by Charlie. I have a large family of 11 children and my beautiful Hawaiian wife, Kanani. We also have Mr. Joe Williams, who lives with us, is a spiritual mentor for us. Just a really blessing to our family. And just glad to be here. I've been at Bridgeway for a little bit over a year. And I'm an associate certified entomologist, so I study bugs for a living. That's what I love to do. So just a little bit about me.
You study bugs for a living. Okay.
I forgot one thing. I am a life group leader, and I would like to give a shout out to Educators for Christ.
There you go. Shout out for Educators for Christ. Let's go to my left here. Susan.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan, and I'm from India. I have two beautiful daughters, Avia and Adia, and I want to give a shout out to my daughters because they told me to do that. So, hi, Avia and Adia. And I come from parents who pastor a church in India. They have a ministry. And my heart is for the ministry and children and women in India. And Pastor Anderson confirmed that God's calling me for full-time ministry. So I'm very grateful to be here on the stage, sharing the stage with this great man. And I'm really humbled and grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Glad you're here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Marcus. I'm 20 years old. I would say I have something going on, but, you know, God is throwing me wherever he pleases right now. I'd say shout out to my mom. She's a real one. I love you, Mom. You're the reason why I'm here today. You're supportive and caring, and I love you.
There you go. Well, let's give them all a hand, okay? So, again, the picture is the apostles' teaching. What were they devoting themselves to? Now, understand that the apostles were the disciples who are now being sent out. And so these disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. The only word of God that they had was the Old Testament, or the old Jewish scriptures, and the prophets. And so they thought Jesus was a prophet, and indeed he was. But we also know that Jesus was more than a prophet. He was the Son of God in the flesh, and he took on all of the sins of all of us and all of the generations of humanity. And when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for the sins that we have all committed, past, present, and future. And when we place our faith in him, who rose again from the dead after they crucified him, we can be free from the penalties of sin as well. And so they realized in this moment, oh my goodness, this is who Jesus is. Peter was preaching, and they were enlightened. And some of you probably have been in a place where you've been enlightened, like you didn't know who Jesus was. And then through a sermon or through reading scripture or maybe through radio or your parents praying with you, you gave your life to Christ. Here's the thing. The teachings that they had prior was probably all about Judaism. And now we have this Jesus who these guys walked with for 3 years. So when these new believers in this community came together, they had people who had actually walked with Jesus, who's now gone. And so everything that they said, they were listening to, but what they were now teaching was not just the Old Testament Jewish scriptures. What they're now teaching are the teachings of Jesus. Because remember what Jesus said to these disciples turned apostles? He says, all authority has been given to me. Now, as you go out, you make disciples of all nations, and you teach them how to observe and obey the very commands I gave to you. So this commitment to the apostles' teaching is really saying, teach us what Jesus said. Now, I'll throw a question to the table here as well as to the congregation. When they were there and now they're getting together regularly, what do you think it was like to be with the apostles who had been with Jesus? And when they would speak about Jesus, what do you think that must have been like for them? Who wants to start?
I would assume that it was anything to like life-changing or just to pick a mind of apostle that walked with Christ and to ask a question or maybe have them share an experience about what it was like to walk with the living God. I would think that it'd be anything but, well, it'd be everything and mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah. And anybody else want to jump in real quickly before we keep moving?
I think it's amazing because, you know, Peter just got done converting 3,000 people to Christianity. And it shows that when he got the power of the Holy Spirit on him and all the disciples, all the apostles received the Spirit, it was a renewing of their minds. It was just a new way of preaching, a new way of communicating, and people were hanging on every word. And so I think if I was an apostle or a new Christian trying to learn from the apostles and didn't have the Bible, I'd be hanging on every word that they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And Sandra, how important is it for people then when they come to know the Lord to then step into that teaching where they're beginning to learn the ways of the Lord?
I think it's very, very important because when I think about my own life, I grew up in a family where both my father and my mother lived out a godly life, but that wasn't enough for me because I was hard-headed. And it wasn't until I saw my older brother come to accept Christ and really watch his life that made a difference and an influence on me and my siblings. So it's life-changing.
Yeah, and when you get the teaching of God's word, it begins to change you from the inside out. Has it been that way for you as well, Susan, as the word of God comes into your mind and heart? How has that changed you?
Well, it changed me so much that I'm ready to serve God, and it has humbled me, you know, because I was hot-headed too. I mean, so much. I was so much in pride. I was not willing to receive his word, but the Holy Spirit, like how the Holy Spirit touched those 3,000 people that day, is going to touch each one of us. And when we are ready, God is going to pour that Holy Spirit upon us, and then that's when the life transformation happens, and it happened to me also.
So think about then the devotion that these people had to Christ, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. One of the things this means is there was a spiritual authority that the apostles had that had been invested in them to lead the church of Jesus Christ. So I want you to imagine the spiritual authority and how devoted these believers were to the teachings of the apostle, but of the apostles, but with that came the spiritual authority that the apostles had. And so I wonder if today we've either gone to one extreme where we don't even believe in spiritual authority anymore, and we don't place ourselves under spiritual authority, or even to the other extreme where the spiritual authority could even become somewhat overpowering, controlling, and abusive. And so my next question is this: given that we still have spiritual leaders today, like Ephesians 4:11 says, apostles and prophets and preachers, teachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, how do we distinguish between the spiritual authority that comes from our spiritual leaders, like myself and others, and the spiritual authority that comes from the Word of God? So you have the Word of God, which they didn't have, remember, right? They had the words of Jesus through the apostles, but they didn't have what we have today, where you literally have the scriptures available to every individual. And so now every individual has a word if they want it, and they're spiritual leaders like myself and others. But how do you distinguish between those authorities, the authority of the person and the authority of the Word of God? Does anybody want to take a stab at that? And if there's anybody in the audience who wants to kind of take a stab at that, you can come to the microphones now as well. What do you think? Charlie?
Spiritual authority is the obedience to God. And I believe that Jesus was obedient to God. He received his spiritual authority from God, and then he passes that on to his disciples through his teaching. And so then his disciples are now responsible for teaching all of these new converts. And as we become a Christian and we accept Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit now that's in us and indwells in us. And now we have spiritual authority, but we still need to be obedient to God. And it's teaching God's word to our children. I think of Deuteronomy 6, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your strength, with all your soul. These words I'm giving to you today, they should be in your heart. You know, we have to just take them in. We have to wear them as like frontlets on our forehead. You know, put them on our wrists. Write them on your doorsteps. Put them on your doorposts. Teach them when you wake up, when you go to sleep, to your children. And all of these words, we have to study God's words so that when we can discern when the pastor's getting up there and spreading God's word and teaching us these messages, that we know it's truth. You know, it's the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and we need to use it, because this is our only offensive weapon against the devil and his temptations, is to know God's word. That's how Jesus resisted temptations from the devil in the desert, from quoting scriptures. And he quoted things from Deuteronomy. He quoted the Old Testament. You know, we need to know the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So even though these disciples didn't have the New Testament, they still had the Old Testament, and that's what Jesus used as the sword of the Spirit to resist temptations.
Sandra, did you have something as well?
Yes, I just wanted to add to what Charlie said. He's right on point. As a believer, as a Christian, as an adult especially, it is our responsibility to grow. The pastor and the ministers are shepherds that God has given us, but it is our responsibility. And the Bible says for us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, that the word of God is the authority of God, and God wants to speak to us individually through his word. And for me, it has been life-changing. There were times in my life, even as a believer, I did wrong. I knew it was wrong, but it was the word of God that corrected me. It was the word of God that brought me back in a right relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we all look up to our spiritual leaders, and we have to, because they are our guiding people here on earth. But it is very important that we look into the Word of God. We need to ask God for a discerning spirit. The Holy Spirit can guide us, because when we listen to our spiritual leaders, sometimes it can happen that they could have. Their opinions, their perspectives, they could share that, but we always should look into the Word, and we can do that only when we are reading our Bible, studying, meditating, and then only we will be able to you know, distinguish between the right and the wrong, what the spiritual leader is teaching, you know, because sometimes they could give their opinion, give their perspective. Right. And so when we are thorough with the Bible, study and meditate, through the help of Holy Spirit, the discerning spirit comes.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Susan. So what do you do when the Word of God that you read clashes with the spiritual leaders that are teaching? And I'd love to hear your perspective. And again, at OMR, if you want to, at Owens Mills Campus, or people online, if you want to send an email, info@AndersonSpeaks, to give your response or even to ask a question. But what do you do when what you see and hear on TV or on a podcast or even in a church, and you know the Word of God, and you feel like it clashes? How do you respond? And is there anybody that's willing to tell me what would the right response be? We have somebody who's holding microphones as well. If you can just raise your hand and wave it and stand to your feet, we'll make our way over to you and just say your name and make your comment. How do we respond when there's a clash between what we understand in the Word of God and what our spiritual leaders are saying? Okay, do we have someone? Hello.
Hi, good morning. My name is Michelle. And I've experienced that kind of emotion and presence. And from what I'm hearing from the pulpit at that moment versus what I was going through, and as I deepen my walk into the Lord, and I'm hearing what they saying, I look at myself and see my blessing. I look at myself and say, hey, this doesn't line up with what is God saying to me and what I'm feeling and what I see in nature and in the present around God's people. So I tend to rebuke it and say, no, this is not for me. No, this doesn't apply to me. Maybe it was for someone else, but not for me. Because I know what God say. His words say he loves me. His words say that we are powerful. His words touches my heart. So it strengthened me to stand on his word and recognize when it is not from him.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there, let's see. Okay, one more for, are you just walking by? Okay, walk on by. You make your way over to the gentleman. Is there a wrong way to disagree with a pastor? And is there a correct way to disagree with a pastor when you see that there's a clash between maybe what you feel the Word of God says or what you believe deeply, but he or she is your spiritual leader? Is there a wrong way and a right way? All right, please.
When we was talking about the clashing with the pastor and what you listening to, what I try to do is let it go in one ear and go out the other.
Did y'all hear that? He said, just let it go through one ear and out the other. That's good. That's it. There you go. Write that down, because that may be the word of the day right there. Uh-huh. There's your practical application. Let it go through one ear and out the other. Yes, please.
The first question you asked about, I heard you, and I had it in my mind. But anyway, it says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. And that's how I would discern the negativity. And then the second question you asked, if the pastor is saying something I disagree in, trying the Spirit by the Spirit. And how I have gone about it is trying to have a talk with the leader to let them know, because sometimes we misunderstand what we've heard. And so we need clarity, because what I heard is not all the time what was said. And so if I can get clarity of it, I don't jump to leave or say the pastor was wrong. I need to get clarity of it, and that's the way I've handled it.
Wow, that's good. Thank you. You're getting clarity. Help me understand. That sort of thing. Hey, has there ever been a time when I was preaching something y'all didn't agree? Raise your hand. You can wave at me. That's all right. God bless you. I'm glad you're still here. You know, all the other people already left. Okay. So, but you see, I think this is really practical, because people are living life now. And what about if the apostles are teaching something that's right, but they don't like it? But Jesus said this. We walked with Jesus. This is what Jesus said to me, and I'm telling you what Jesus is saying, and you're saying, but no, I don't like that. How do you handle that when you hear God's word and you don't like it?
Well, growing up in this new generation, to actually like backpack on what she was saying, when it comes to pastors and ministers telling us the word, let's be real here. The Bible is always the hard copy. Your Bible never changes. Doesn't matter what version you get to. It always tells the same message, that God loves us, we're his children, that he's here for us. The way that a pastor or a minister may preach that to us, we may not like. And of course, you can always ask questions. You can always make a statement. You could always say something. It's never bad to always to say, I don't understand, because we're here to learn. I believe that when we're going through these walks of life, and as someone that is growing up and becoming the man that I'm trying to be, this generation is very anti-Bible, or, you know, against Christianity. And it's because it's a lot of hate. There's a lot of, whether it was pastors or ministers, I've had friends of mine still to this day that aren't believers, but will come to me and be like, Marcus, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does Christ say about this? And they come to me because they feel safe, because we can have a conversation about it, because they can disagree and I can say, okay, that's okay. It's whenever someone comes to somebody else with a higher knowledge, and if they ask you a question and you shoot them down, they'll never ask a question again. Mm.
Right.
They'll never be able to learn or understand
right.
what God can do for them if every time they come to us, we tell them, no, it's specifically this way. Everybody learns differently. Everybody picks up information differently. So when the Bible says this and someone doesn't understand it that way, instead of being mean or, you know, just being rude, it's okay to just say, I don't understand. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't realize it.
That's really good, Marcus. Thank you for that. It's really good. And then you have to make sure that you have spiritual leaders that aren't threatened by people asking them questions and saying, help me to understand. But I really like the idea of, you know, going to people and saying, can you clarify this with me? Help me to understand this. So how if they clarify it? What if they clarify it? They help you to understand, and you just have two different positions. How do you coexist at home? Conversations about home. And you have spiritual authority in the home as well as in the church home. But bottom line is, okay, you see the scriptures one way, they see the scriptures another way, but you're still in the same home. What governs the way you relate now?
With as large of a home as what I have, there are definitely some disagreements that we have.
Now, just to be clear, 11 kids?
Yes, 11.
One wife?
Children. Yes, yes.
Okay, just clarifying. Yeah. And
did I tell you she was Hawaiian? She's beautiful.
Hawaiian, she is. And the oldest is how old?
She is 25.
And the youngest is how young?
6.
God bless you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. So seven girls. So definitely when you're at home, I am the spiritual leader of my house. And I tried to teach each one of my children about God's word and about my personal beliefs. But there is times that we come in disagreements, and there is times that my children have challenged me, just like I'm sure that you might want to challenge a pastor, or you might see something that is wrong on the internet, that it's being coming off as Christianity. There's a lot of deception that's out in this world, and it's deception for our children. So we really have to base our foundations of our beliefs on the Bible. And the Bible is a total and inherent word of God. It's the truth. And that's where you have to begin with everything. Don't throw out the Old Testament. The Old Testament is still valuable for teaching and instruction. Everything in the Bible is valuable. But I think that it really just goes back to you have to treat your children with love and with respect. You have to just have an open mind and listen. Keep the communication channels open. And when they do disagree, you can agree to disagree. But it's definitely... you just have to do it out of love and respect, and then point back to what God's word says about something that maybe you don't agree with.
Thank you. And so let's do one more tough question. Spiritual authority is important, but there is a distinction between authority and authoritarianism. Been a part of that, huh? So authoritarianism may focus more on control, giving orders, and commanding control over people's lives, even if they're using a good thing, like the Bible or whatever it may be, but they're using it in a way that is commanding control over people, okay? And so this distinction between authority and authoritarianism, while none of us want authoritarianism, I think in the culture, people may react to that and just throw spiritual authority out completely. And so how do we keep a level of spiritual authority and honor for spiritual authority in a world where there's a lot of authoritarianism within the world and within the church? Any thoughts from you on this one? Go ahead, Sandra, and then Marcus.
As a parent, I have adult children, and no one told me about parenting adult children. And it has truly been a challenge because I have had to learn to let go, that I no longer control my children's life. And it's the same way as a believer. You have a right to live your truth. You have a right to stand for what you believe in, but you do not have a right to be disrespectful, and you do not have a right to take other people's right away. God, when you look at Jesus, he gives us all free will. He gives us a will to say yes to him. He wants us to come to him because we want to come to him. We do not have a right to demand that other people come to Christ. That's between them and God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, you lift Christ up through your life. He said, if I be lifted up, just being you and living your truth, I'll draw all men unto me. That's the Holy Spirit of God's job. I had to learn that as a parent, and it has helped me as a Christian.
So not going from authority to being tempted to jump over to authoritarianism, trying to command and control adult children, we find out that doesn't work anyway.
It does not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. It doesn't work in church life either, by the way.
It does not work. Yeah. And you're infringing on someone's freedom.
Yeah. Marcus, we'll give you the last word on this one.
I think at the end of the day, it comes down to pride. When it comes to...
You said pride.
Pride.
Uh-huh.
When it comes down to either authoritarianism and spiritual authority, some people just let the word of God and the rush they get from telling the people just go to their head. At the end of the day, they believe that they're the cause instead of the Lord. And when they put themselves in front of God, that is when we change from spiritual authority to authoritarianism, because they are now grabbing the attention to them. As the youngest in my household, I'm humbled all the time. It's just the truth. Some people's pride doesn't allow them to just let go of the hill. sometimes you just got to take the L. And people's pride, they don't realize it.
Yeah.
That when you can't take a loss, you don't know how to win. And if you don't know how to win, you can't coach a team. So when people go forward and they take the word of God and they make it themselves instead of the Lord, and they make it selfish and they let their pride cloud their judgment, that is when we get authoritarianism.
Good stuff, good stuff. It happens. It happens all the time if you're a spiritual leader. And a lot of you are spiritual leaders in your homes and on your jobs and among your friend group. God has anointed many of you to be spiritual leaders. And if we're not careful, we can slip into authoritarianism, maybe even without knowing it. But as soon as you have to start controlling people's behaviors and emotions, and I'm not talking about children, I'm talking about adults, that should be a ding, 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 ding. Something goes off inside of you, say, ooh, let me not try to slip into this role of control. Because to do that, you take God out of the seat of control and putting yourself in there, right? And so, like you're saying, Mark, it's so true that we're not the cause. We have to get ourselves out of the way and let God be God all by himself. And that's a key word, I'm sure, for all of us. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Charlie, if you wouldn't mind reading that, that'll be the passage that we'll run to before we share together in communion. But it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
All scripture is inspired by God.
Hang on, say it again.
All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching and for rebuking and for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
There it is. So all of scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and given for reasons. And one is for teaching, and that's what we're talking about today. Teaching is telling you what's right. But then it says for rebuke. Rebuke is telling you what's wrong, and that's where it takes this humility, right? So for teaching, for rebuke, telling you what's right, telling you what's wrong. Then for correction, telling you how to get right after you've been wrong. So the word of God and the spiritual leaders are there to help you with those three things. And then the last one, training in righteousness, training you how to stay right. So get right, and when you're wrong, rebuke because you're not right. Correct it, showing you how to get right again. And in training, how to keep you right. And if you're not in the church, if you're not under God's authority, if you're not under the word, then guess what happens? Right becomes what's in your own mind. Right becomes what's in the culture. Right depends on whose house you're in at that time. And so we live in a culture where if the word of God is not the authority, then what do you turn to? You turn to your feelings. You turn to what you grew up with. You turn to what your friends are turning to, and it works for them, so it's maybe it'll work for you as well. But scripture also says bad company corrupts good morals. And so there's a world of folk who are running around, and they have no sense of authority. And so they're not submitting to anyone but themselves. And so I think it's important to see that these new believers, these New Testament believers, the first thing they devoted themselves was to the apostles' teaching and to the authority of God's word. And I pray today that this was a different kind of a sermon that just struck you maybe in a different way. If I could ask you just one quick takeaway or thought that you have before we turn to communion, Susan, I'll start with you. Is there any takeaway or thought that struck you today from our conversation?
Sure. So spiritual authority is important, yes. And so, but not everyone of us have direct interaction with our spiritual leaders. So how do we deal with that? you know, because you are saying something on the stage and you're gone, but we are dealing with that message the whole week. So how do we deal with that when we have a clash or when we are inspired? Well, when I was meditating on this word, God told me that we need to have our faith community, our believers, go to small groups, you know, what the small groups that we have in the church, attend those and interact and get inspired by our fellow Christians as well. So that's that way, if we have any kind of clash, any kind of, you know, even if we are inspired or excited, we can share. And when there is a clash, we can all together sit and maybe come to our spiritual leader gracefully and address that.
That's really good, because, you know, I grew up with two older sisters. My brother was out the house when he was 17, so then there was Sandra, and then Brenda, and then me. And so, to your point, no matter what Dad and Mom were saying, I had older siblings like Sandra, who was teaching me at the same time and helping me know how to open the door for a lady and all of that. All those things, when people say that I'm a gentleman, believe it or not, all those things is because Sandra taught me when I was a little boy. So, thank you. You know, but that's what you're saying. You have siblings. You have a family. And it's not just about Mom and Dad. It's also about one another and kind of jacking each other. I mean, helping each other get it right. Amen? Any final thought before we move to communion?
Just, I agree. Same thing with you. I have a sister. And anything that I do, gentlemen, no, she just, you know, was like, you do this, and if you don't, that's just how it goes. Being the youngest, you know, you're really kind of a punch bag for a little bit, but that's besides the point. I believe that as Christians and as followers of Christ, that we have to be okay with disagreeing with each other. That even though that we all are together in this, at the end of the day, we're a family, and siblings fight. Yeah. But we have to make sure that when it matters, we can come together and we can show everybody and show the people that through the way we live, Christ lives.
Yeah, very good. Any final takeaway?
Yes. You know, as I was listening to Susan and Marcus, it reminded me that our number one authority is the Word of God. As a child of God, where does our faith, where does it stand? What do we stand on? We stand on the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that we need to assemble ourselves together. We need to come together with other believers. This is how we get strong. But the Word of God also tells us we need to meditate and memorize the Scriptures. Because I don't know about you, but there'll be a time in your life, if you keep living, that is all you will have is Jesus and the Word of God. And if you've been there, you know that the God of our salvation will use that word to bring you out of many a situations. So if you're a believer today, stand on the word. The word will not return void in your life. God will use that word.
Amen. And last word, authoritarianism doesn't work. I've tried it. with 11 kids just trying to, it's like herding cats trying to get them all in the car to go to church in the morning. So what you have to do is you have to pray for your kids. You have to pray for your pastor. You have to pray for your coworkers. Through prayer and supplication, that's the only way that you can really get through and communicate with people. It takes prayer. And with your spiritual authority that God's given you as a Christian, just seek God, read his word, and pray. And it's the best thing that you can do for your children when you have disagreements or when you have problems dragging them all to church, if that's what you need to do. But, you know, they all need prayer, and you can't force them to do stuff.
Thank you. It's because of Jesus that we all come together and have fellowship. We'll talk more about that next week. You know, last Wednesday, we started Wednesday Night Alive again, another module of the foundations of the faith and the foundational teachings of Jesus in many different ways. You can still jump into a Wednesday Night Alive. Just go online and hit bridgeway.cc/events. You'll see Wednesday Night Alive. Go there in case you want to jump on Zoom or come into a classroom. This is a wonderful church to be able to learn the Word of God from our spiritual leaders. But we're here because of Jesus. So we're going to pass out the elements now. Well, maybe you already have them. Do you have those little? There you go. Look at that. All right. And at Owens Mills as well, everybody has a little communion cup. And you can use anything. We have some muffins up here and water. All right. So whatever you have. But we also have the little communion things. So why don't you take out the little wafer. And this little wafer actually represents the body of Christ. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it, and giving thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us commune together. Let us say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Then he took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink what represents the blood of Christ together. Let's say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." I'd like to say goodbye to those who are at Owens Mills, Reisterstown, and turn the service over to Pastor Michener there. And for those of you online, God bless you. We'll take a beat and you're out.